Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
We're starting a new series. It's our vision series for this year, and it's called Heart for the House. And we're going to be doing this for 4 weeks, Heart for the House. And this morning's message is entitled Embracing God's Vision. It's going to be a little different type of message this morning, but I pray that it will minister to you and it will speak to your heart. Amen. In the early 1960s, a man by the name of Walt and his good friend Arthur took a ride in the country in Central Florida, driving off the main road into the boonies, just empty land of trees and trees and trees. And they went to a vast expanse of undeveloped land, and Walt stopped the car, got out, and started to describe with great vividness and the wonderful things that he was going to build on this huge acreage of land. And then Walt explained to his friend Arthur, "I want to give you the first chance to buy the surrounding acreage, because in a few years it will be jammed with hotels and restaurants and convention halls that will accommodate the thousands upon thousands of people who will come to spend their entire vacation here at my park, and it will increase the value of the land you buy hundreds of times over." His friend Art thought about it for a moment and then said, "Who in the world is going to drive 25 miles into the boonies for this project?" So Art Linkletter, you might recognize that name, missed the greatest investment opportunity of his life to buy the land surrounding what has become Disney World, because he could not see the vision that Walt Disney saw. Walt Disney died before the park was opened. And at the opening ceremony of Walt Disney World, one of the speakers said, "I wish that Walt could have seen this." And at that moment, Mrs. Disney responded, "Oh, he did see it. That's why it's here today." Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, that is the power of vision. And I have a vision in my heart of what God is going to do through this church. Amen. It was that vision that caused this church to be started 31 years ago. It is because of that vision that we are here today. And it is because of that vision that greater things are yet in store. Amen. Now, if a man-made vision like Walt Disney's can produce such incredible results like the global Disney empire, how much more can a God-given vision backed up by the power of the Almighty bring about great results? Amen? So as we start our vision series this year, Heart for the House, I want to share with you about God's vision for this house. We're going to start reading in Acts 2, verse 17. It says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And from the very start, this church has been unapologetically spirit-filled, a Pentecostal church. Amen. And the Spirit of God in the church is so important that it causes you to see things differently. It causes you to say things differently. The power of God in the church causes us to see what God sees and to speak what God speaks. We need that because there are so many forces in the world that will cause us to not believe in the plan of God, to not believe in the goodness of God, to not believe in the vision of what he desires to do in and through his church. So we have a vision. By God's Spirit, he shows us what he wants to do in this house. And vision is important because vision provides boundaries for you to live by. When you have a vision, it's like a river. And a river can be powerful because a river that flows within its banks creates a powerful current that can even run hydroelectric plants that power entire cities. That's the power. Now, without the banks of a river, the water would just flow everywhere and become a swamp. And it would stagnate and become lifeless and powerless. Amen? So we need that vision to be the banks that focus us in the direction that God wants us to go. So when you have a vision, you don't say what everybody else says. You don't do what everybody else does. You prophesy. You speak what God is saying, and you do what God is doing. Amen? You speak a future that is different. You speak a future that is what God desires to do. You speak to opportunities that are bigger than what you can accomplish, that are bigger than what we can accomplish, because we serve a great big God. So you speak a hope that is larger. You speak a perspective that is rooted in what God sees. And that is what vision is. In Proverbs 29:19, the wisdom writer says, without a vision, the people perish. No vision leads to lifelessness. That's what it means. No vision leads to lifelessness. Or as one translation says, that without vision, the people cast off restraint. They don't have any banks like a river to channel the flow. They're just like that swamp. They say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Every idea comes up and they just run this direction for a little while, run that direction for a little while. Some church growth expert comes and holds a seminar and, oh, we're going to jump on that and do that for a little while. And you're just running around in all these directions, but you're really not making any progress to the accomplishment of God, what God wants. We have to have a vision. We have to have a vision for our life. What is it that God wants to accomplish in my life? We need to have a vision for our career. What is it that God desires for me to do, and what is it God desires to do through my career, through my secular vocation? What is God's calling for my career? We need to have a vision for our marriage. What is it that God desires for our marriage? And we can find a lot of what God is saying about marriage in Scripture. Ephesians 5, 24 through 32, he calls marriage to be a reflection of his love relationship with the church, the bride of Christ. It means that God wants couples to love each other passionately with a self-sacrificing love that serves one another. It means that you are united to your spouse so that you become one flesh, and you are praying together, and you're seeking God together, and you're standing together, and you're moving forward in unity. And when you have the vision of what God wants for your marriage, it sets boundaries to protect and cherish your relationship as the most important thing in your life next to Jesus alone. And those boundaries help to fulfill God's vision for your life and for your marriage. If you don't have God's vision for marriage to constrain you to be those boundaries, then you might do some things that may eventually kill your marriage. So just like vision is important individually, it's important for our career, for our marriage. As a church, we need a vision, because vision constrains us. Vision guides us like the banks of a river. Vision gives us a purpose. It gives us a direction. It gives us a reason for why we do what we do. It tells us why we exist. Why do we do what we do? We exist. Our vision statement, what God has spoken for this house, is that we exist to be a church not contained within walls. Now, when we gather within these walls, it's important because we come to be encouraged, we come to be built up, we come to grow spiritually, but we come together to grow so that once we are finished, we can go into the world. Amen? So I'm not saying it's not important to be in church. It's very important to be in church because that's how we grow spiritually. But we come here to be equipped so that we can go out to do the work of the Lord. So the vision God has for this house is that we would not be a church contained within walls, but that we would have arms reaching into every sect of our community with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, because again, we are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the necessity of the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives. And the goal of preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit is to make fully devoted followers of Christ who love God and love one another. That's the great commandment, right? Amen. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that you would love one another as you love yourself. And then we want them to love God, to love one another, to love to serve, and to love the lost. Those four things are essential in a person who is a follower of Christ. You can't just have one. There are some people that they just say, oh, I love God, but I don't have to mess with people. No. Our love for God will flow in our love for his body, for his church, for one another. Amen. I love God, but I don't have to be involved in ministry. No. If we love God, we will have the heart of Christ. And he said he did not come to be served, but to serve, to minister to others. So I love God. I love to worship. I love to sing. I love to come to church, but I don't have to witness. No. We are all called to be witnesses. So if you're a growing Christian, all four of these things are going to be present in your life. Loving God with all your heart, loving one another as you love yourself, loving to serve, ministering to one another, and loving the lost, witnessing and reaching out in the world. And so that's our goal in preaching the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is to produce fully devoted followers of Christ who love God, love one another, love to serve, and love the lost. And growth in those four essential areas is what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. And so we want people to encounter God. We want people to encounter God when we're out witnessing. And so that's why prayer is so important. We want the Spirit of God to anoint when we're talking to people, when we're praying for people so that they'll encounter God. We want people to encounter God when they come here to worship. We don't want them to just sing songs and hear a sermon, but we want them to feel the presence of God. I was following up by text with one of the people who visited us several weeks ago, and they sent me back a text and said, oh, I just love New Life. I just felt the anointing of God so much in that church, but unfortunately they live in North Broward and it was a little far for them. But just to hear that they could experience and encounter the presence of God here, that's what we want. We want people to come in and meet God. I've had people so many times tell me, I don't know why when I walked into that church, I just started to cry and I felt something different. What was that? That's the presence of God. Amen. We want people coming in to encounter the presence of God, because it is in that encounter that the transformation begins. Amen. We want people to engage in relationships, because God has not only called us to love one another, but go through the Bible and in the New Testament and study all the one another's. Pray for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burden. This is an essential part of our walk with the Lord. We need each other. We need to build relationships, because that's how we encourage one another when we're going through something. That's how we pray for one another and strengthen one another and help carry one another through those times. We need one another. Amen. And then we need to be involved in personal ministry. We need to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us to minister in the body of Christ, you know. So what gift or talent has God given you? You know, maybe you say, well, I can't sing, or I can't preach, or I can't teach. But hey, can you operate a computer? We need to expand our media ministry. We need to build out our team for our media ministry so that we can have more people, put you on a rotation schedule so nobody gets burnt out, amen? And our media ministry, they're not just running a computer. You know what they're doing? They're enabling the gospel to reach around the world. Hallelujah. Because of them, people in Canada, people in England, people in Europe, people in Jamaica, people in South America, and people all over the United States are hearing the gospel today. Because we have people all around the world that are watching and are being blessed by, and it's because of them. Amen. So that is a ministry of impact. So if you can operate a computer, get in touch with Elizabeth. Wave at everybody, Elizabeth, and she'll be glad to train you. She's sitting right back there. She'll be glad to train you and put you on a schedule. You don't have to do it every service. Because I know some people are, oh, I don't want to miss worship. You know, a part of our worship is serving.
That's right, Pastor.
Somebody has said ministry is worship in work clothes.
Yes.
Ministry is not just singing songs.
Yes.
Ministry is working, ministering for the Lord, serving.
Yes.
See, worship is not just singing songs. It's working, doing the work of the Lord. Amen. So we want people to find a meaningful place of ministry to use their gifts for the Lord. And then we want every believer to impact the world, to make a difference in the world. How?
Yeah.
By sharing Jesus wherever we go. That is our vision. That's our goal, to mobilize this entire church body in those four areas. You need to have the vision of God for your life in 2023, and God wants us to embrace his vision for his house in 2023, a vision that is rooted in God and is rooted in what God says and what God is doing. And we need to speak over our life and over our church what God is speaking. We need to prophesy or release by faith what God desires to do in and through us. So here are some of the things that I believe that God is wanting us to declare by faith or prophesy over our church body and over our lives today. And so as we move through this message, I'm going to involve you in the preaching. I'm going to involve you in prophesying these things over us this morning, declaring these things over us. So the first thing we're going to prophesy, I'll say it first and then I'll allow you to say it again with me. No dream is too big to ask God to do, so I will ask. Now let's all say it together. No dream is too big to ask God to do, so I will ask. Hallelujah. Do not allow your mind and your heart to be satisfied with lesser things, manageable things, things that you can accomplish easily in your own strength and ability, things that are just enough to get by. We serve a God who created the heavens and the earth. And Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for you?" Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We serve a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. He's not a God of just the barely enough. No, he's the God of exceedingly abundantly. So we need to pray big prayers. Don't hedge your prayers by the limitations of your mind. Pray prayers that defy human possibilities and say, "God, this is what I think you can do, but I know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. So this is what I ask you to do." Hallelujah. We got to get this in our spirit, and we've got to believe it. When we are touched by the Spirit of God, we will believe for greater things. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let's believe for greater things." All right, the second declaration. The battle is the Lord's, and I am not alone. Let's say it together. The battle is the Lord's, and I am not alone. You see, the enemy likes to convince us that we're alone, that nobody cares, and that we can't make a difference. We can't do what God is calling us to do. The enemy says nobody's with you, nobody's on your side. That's the lie of the enemy. God is with us. And Paul said, if God is for us, then who or what can be against us? Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Folks, the vision God has for this house is great. It's bigger than anything we can accomplish. We have some huge obstacles in front of us, one of which is the finances for our building. But folks, if God be for us, then who can be against us? We just heard Pat share that dream earlier about when the cloud of God's glory came over the house and you could see the lightning. And that's an image from the Old Testament when God came on Mount Sinai in a dark cloud and there was lightning. But then there was that attack, right, where she described all these trees being uprooted and coming against the house. But what? God protected. Amen? Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? And let me tell you something. Whenever you endeavor to do something great for God, the enemy's going to rise up and attack. If you're doing nothing, the enemy will leave you alone. But if you're going to work for the Lord, if you're going to advance his kingdom, the enemy is going to attack. But if God be for us, who can be against us? The battle is the Lord's. He will fight for us, and he will give us the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A third declaration. I will not be discouraged by what looks small now. Let's say it together. I will not be discouraged by what looks small now. Anybody ever hear of a man named Jeff Bezos? Jeff Bezos? Know who he is? Founder and CEO of Amazon. One of the richest men in the world. Do you know how Jeff started? He had a vision, and he began a small company in a converted garage in his home with a desk made of a door bolted to 2x4s and a paper stretched across the wall with the word Amazon spray painted on it. That's where he started. You could say, man, you're not going to amount to anything. You're using a door for a desk. You got paper spray painted on your wall. You're not going to amount to anything because it looks small. Amen? But he had a vision burning in his heart. And if a human vision without the backing of an almighty God can accomplish what he accomplished, then a vision from God backed by his almighty power can accomplish great things. Don't be afraid to start small and dream big. You know, God spoke this very message to his people when they began to try to rebuild the temple in the Old Testament. And they got the foundation laid, and they became discouraged. And they said, look at this. It's nothing in comparison to the glory of the temple that Solomon built. It's just a foundation. It's just some stone in the ground. It's not. And they became discouraged, and they stopped building because it looked so inferior. But Haggai, one of the prophets of God, began to encourage them and say to them, don't give up, because the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. Hallelujah. Don't despise small things. God also used Zechariah to speak to the same group of people and say, do not despise small beginnings. Hallelujah. He said in that same passage, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Over the last 3 years, there have been times I got discouraged. Our church was up to 1,000 a few years ago. And then, you know, there started to be shifts in the community, and then COVID hit. And I'm thankful people are coming back now, and we're getting good crowds. But, you know, we used to have two services with about this many people in each service. And so it was discouraging for several months where we were preaching to almost an empty building. You know, and sometimes I'd get before the Lord and I would just cry and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. You put this vision in my heart and it looks like we're going backwards and not forward. We get discouraged. But God says, don't despise those little beginnings, amen? Because it's not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit, hallelujah. Little is much when God is in it, hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And God is in it, God is here. God is in our midst. Our church and the ability to fulfill God's vision may seem small now. We may seem weak because we're fewer in number. We may seem weak because being fewer in number, finances have gone down. And then we hear a number like $1.2 million, and we may feel overwhelmed. We may feel like we're never going to get there. Don't think that way. That's fear. Think by faith and say, little is much when God is in it, and God is in it. God is in our midst. Hallelujah. We may get discouraged with little, but we serve a great big God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. All right, a fourth declaration. I will not stop short of the miracles that I need. Now say it out loud by faith. Mean it. I will not stop short of the miracles that I need. Now say it again. I will not stop short of the miracles that I need. Hallelujah. You know what, folks? God's arm is not shortened that he cannot accomplish it. Sometimes we look at things and we say, no, there's no way. God can't do this. Have you ever seen a picture of a Tyrannosaurus Rex? It's this great big dinosaur, right? One of the biggest dinosaurs. And then he's got these tiny little arms. Looks so ridiculous, right? That's the best T-Rex imitation that I can do. But it's one of the funniest looking dinosaurs. And sometimes that's how we picture God. This great big God with tiny little arms, and oh God, you're not able to do that. No, the Bible says God's arm is not shortened, that he cannot do it. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We serve a God with long arms. We serve a God with mighty arms. We serve a God for whom nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. So don't stop short of your miracle. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep declaring, because it will come. Hallelujah. All right, a fifth declaration. I will not give up ground as I take new ground. Say this. I will not give up ground as I take new ground. Hallelujah. You might have had a good season in the past and say, well, you know, God did a great thing for me back then. But folks, that was then. That's not now. But if God helped you in the past, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not forsaken you. He will help you now. Hallelujah. And He will help you in the future. Because the promise of Joshua is a promise that is ours by faith. And that promise that He gave Joshua in Joshua 1:3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, even as I promised Moses. What God says, his promises are unfailing. Circumstances may change, people may change, but God is going to honor His promise. Amen? God has spoken a promise over this house, and we need to stand on it. We need to pray it. We need to believe it, because it is going to be given to us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. All right. A sixth declaration. I believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All right, say it in faith now. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God is on my right hand. God is on my left hand. God goes before me, and God is my rear reward, protecting behind me. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my sure defense, and He has promised that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now, He didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. He didn't say that the enemy wouldn't use that weapon against you. But He promised that it would not prosper. It will not prevail. Hallelujah. God is with us. God is for us. And we are trusting God that 2023 is going to be a year of great spiritual victories. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. All right, a seventh declaration. I will not give up on the prayers that I have prayed. I've prayed so many prayers over this church, but I'm not going to give up on them. You have some prayers you've prayed, some for the church, some for your family, some for your marriage, some for your children. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's what Jesus said. And every time He said it was in the progressive tense, means that it's an ongoing action. Keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. If you've given up on your prayers because you felt God didn't do it, if your prayers are in line with God's word, go back to those prayers and pray them again. Some of my prayers I've written in journals. And sometimes I go back and I read those prayers, and in the flesh I say, Lord, it looks impossible, but I declare this once again, Lord, because nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is too hard for You. Because Jesus said, everyone who keeps on praying, everyone who keeps on seeking, everyone who keeps on knocking, they will receive the answer and the door will be opened unto them. Hallelujah. Pick up those prayers that you've laid down and begin praying them again. Every prayer that maybe you've given up on because you didn't receive the answer in your time frame, or because it seemed like it got more impossible, pray it again and keep praying. I heard the story of a pastor who owned a parrot that could only say, I pray, I pray. And for years he had this parrot that kept saying, I pray, I pray. And then one of the deacons in his church said, you know what? I have a parrot, and my parrot can only say, kiss me, kiss me. So they started joking about it, and they said, you know, we ought to get our parrots together. So the pastor invited the deacon to bring his parrot over to his house, and he did. And he put the deacon put his parrot into the cage with the pastor's parrot. And the deacon's parrot said, kiss me, kiss me. And the pastor's parrot said, thank you, God, you finally answered my prayer. Hallelujah. door, Parrot. He'd been praying for years. I pray, I pray. And nothing seemed to happen. But you know, God is a God of suddenlies. And if you've been praying something for years, don't give up on it, because suddenly one day, the breakthrough can happen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Keep believing. Maintain a position of faith. Keep praying. Keep fasting. And keep pressing in. And that's the heart of this house. We are a people of prayer. We're a people of faith. We're a people of expectancy. We're a people who believe in a God who answers prayer. We are a people who believe in a God of miracles. Hallelujah. God hears every prayer that we've prayed, not only personally, but for his house. And he will answer. Hallelujah. An eighth declaration. There will be no holes in my financial bags. Declare that with me. There will be no holes in my financial bags. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, those words are actually taken from the prophecy of Haggai. God's people were struggling financially, and they said it was like putting money in bags with holes or in pockets with holes. And the prophet Haggai spoke to that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said, you earn wages only to put them in purses with holes in it, and you never seem to have enough. Why? God gave them the answer in Haggai 1:9. God said, because of my house, which remains in ruins, while each of you is busy building his own house. See, this is the people that had returned from Babylonian captivity to the city of Jerusalem, which had been destroyed. And their first order of business, by God's command, was to rebuild the temple. But they laid the foundation, gave up on it, and then they started to build their own homes, and they were paneling it with expensive cedar brought from Lebanon. They had the money to do all of that, but they had given up on God's house. And God said, the reason you're struggling financially is because you don't have my blessing, because you have not put my house first. They had not made God's house their priority. They were more concerned with their own houses and their own affairs. So God said to them, you're under a curse. You're putting your money in bags with holes in it. And God doesn't want us under a curse. God wants us under his blessing.
That's right.
Because he wants to bless us and he wants to prosper us. And he tells us how to live under his blessing. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added unto you. The blessing of God follows those who put him first. God, when you put God first, when you seek his kingdom first, when you give first to God, God will raise you up to be entrepreneurs. God will raise you up to start businesses. God will raise you up to launch out a new career. As long as you put him and his kingdom first, he promises that he will bless and prosper you. So we need to put God's vision first, and then we will experience his blessing. I noticed we got real loud when I was preaching about the parrots. But when I'm talking about finances, we got real quiet. Hallelujah. That's where we can say amen or oh me. Praise the Lord. All right. A ninth declaration. Fear will not bind me, invade me, or limit my future. Now declare it with me. Fear will not bind me, invade me, or limit my future. Hallelujah. I'm trusting and believing in the goodness of God in 2023. Do you believe that? As a church, we stand on the ground that God is giving us, convinced of his goodness, convinced of his faithfulness, convinced of his power. We are trusting in him. So we have a heart full of vision, a heart for what God desires to do, a heart for what God cares about, not what we care about. The heart of God, the heart of Jesus, when he was on earth, was always for the house of God. The scripture says of Jesus, the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. Jesus was passionate for the house of the Lord. And Jesus was passionate for the mission of God. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the mission of God. And the mission and the vision of God is always about the people. But the building is a tool to accomplish the mission. The mission was about seeking and saving that which was lost. But Jesus also had a passion for the house of God, for the temple, because he understood the importance of the place where God's people gather to worship, to experience God, to be taught, and to be equipped. So we need a passion for the mission, which is people. But we also need to have a passion for the house of God. Our vision is not to build a building, but the building is a tool. As we build the house of God, it is a tool to minister to this community. And one of the ways that it will make us more effective is sometimes we witness to people in the street, try to tell them where this church is. They have no idea where we're located because they see a shopping center. I've had people tell me that one lady that became a member here several years ago, she's since moved to Naples. She said for 2 years she was listening to us online, and she would come out and she would drive up and down Pines Boulevard looking for this church. And then she asked her son to help her, and he said, Mom, there's no church there. It doesn't exist. She said, I know it has to exist. I've been watching them online. And finally, somehow, she made her way into this parking lot and saw that we were here. That's one of the things that's been hindering us. Amen. Other people, I've heard later on, tell me when they first drove up, they debated to come in because it was a storefront. And that turns some people off, you know. So should it not? That's not for me to judge, but it just does. But we want to remove any barriers or hindrances to this community coming to Christ. Amen. And this is what the Lord says about his heart for this house. Now I say unto you upon this rock, what rock? The rock of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Folks, the church is not man's idea. It's not my idea. It's not any human's idea. It's God's idea. He is building his church. He is building new life. And as we continue to seek him, as we continue to pray, as we continue to work, as we continue to give, God is going to build this house. But I want you to see the vision of Jesus Christ is about building his church. And that includes building his house. And the heart of God is to build a people empowered by his spirit who will fulfill his mission. And to build a place, a community of faith and grace where people can come and find God, encounter his presence, be saved, be set free, be healed, and be restored, and their life transformed. That's what Jesus was concerned with. And he will not allow the enemy to stop it at any cost. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus loves the church. The Bible says he died to make the church possible so that there would be a people to carry on his name and fulfill his mission. Jesus' heart is for his church and for the house of God. And if we're following Christ, our heart should be for the church and for the house of God. Amen. As we grow in him, his heart will become our heart, and we will become zealous for the mission of God and for the house of God. Amen. We care about having a vision from God that lines up with the heart of Jesus that he modeled on earth. God has a great future for this church. That future has not been abandoned. Amen. His plans are still on the table. He will fulfill the vision to reach this community, to see our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers reached with the gospel. He will fulfill the vision to build his church, a spirit-empowered people reaching the lost of this community and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, to do that, we need to expand our media team, our first impressions team, our children's team, our worship team. These ministries are vital to the ministries of our church. And so we need you. We need you to rise up with the gifts and talents you have and step into these vital places of ministry so that we can expand the ministry of this house. And it will take embracing the vision, having faith, praying, and speaking his vision into fulfillment. It will take us getting involved in ministry. It will take every one of us faithfully sharing our faith as we go out into the community. It will take every one of us giving our tithes and sacrificially and generously giving above our tithes offerings for our building fund so that we can do what God is calling us to do. That's what it will take to see this vision fulfilled. That's what it'll take as we commit to the vision. We're saying, I will embrace and believe for the vision of God for this house to be fulfilled. I will pray. I will get involved in serving in ministry. I will get involved in sharing my faith. And I will commit to giving financially to see this vision fulfilled. Jesus has a heart for his house and his mission. And if we are followers of Jesus, then we ought to have his heart. And Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So Jesus is saying your giving reflects your heart. Now, I'm not going to ask you to make a faith promise for our building if you're not tithing. So the first place to start is if you're a believer. If you're a visitor, tune this out. But if you're a believer, the first place I ask you to start in making a commitment to God is to commit to tithe. I believe if every one of us would just tithe, we would have more than enough to do all God is calling us to do. So commit to tithe. The word tithe in Hebrew means 10%. 10% of our income, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. Why? Because 100% of our income comes from God.
Amen.
Amen. All of it really is his. But he only asks for 10% of it. So I encourage you to make that commitment. If you're already tithing, then I'm going to encourage you to make a commitment above and beyond your tithe to give to our building fund. And we're going to give you this opportunity throughout this month. In the back of in the pews in front of you, you'll see a little card like this. Amen. And you can just take that, pray over it, and fill it out. Make a commitment, whatever God lays on your heart. Make a commitment by faith. You know, because God can always do more than we think we can do. Let God speak to your heart. Make a commitment by faith, whether you're going to give weekly or monthly or a one-time gift or a one-year gift. You can fill that out. And then after we pray, you can come and just lay it on the altar before the Lord up here, and then we'll have it collected and taken in to our office. But I encourage everyone to make that commitment, to make a commitment to pray, make a commitment to serve, and make a commitment to witness. If every one of us does that, this church is going to explode in South Florida. Amen. But before we can be a part of God's vision, we need to have a relationship with him. Amen. And the Bible says that we're all sinners and sin has broken our relationship with God. But God made a plan for that. He sent his own son, Jesus, to die for us. God has given us so much. He gave his own son. And the moment that we repent, which means to turn away, we turn away from our sin and turn to God in faith and say, God, forgive me. And come and live inside of me. The moment we do that, Jesus says we're born again. We begin a relationship with God. We become a child of God. Our sins are forgiven. And we can claim heaven as our home. And if you're here today and you have not yet given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you did so several years ago and you've drifted away, I want to encourage you to come back this morning. And I just invite you to pray this simple prayer with me in just a moment. But if you're here today and you would say, pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back to Jesus. Just put your hand up and you can put it right back down. Pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus, or I want to come back. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Amen. Thank you for a hand over here. All right, I'm going to ask all of you that raised your hand and the rest of us as well to encourage them along. Let's just pray this prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life and I turn to you in faith. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins and I invite you to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision of your life. Amen. And we want to ask you, if you just prayed that prayer, if you would take your phone out and just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, because we'd like to send you free of charge a little e-booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord, because the prayer you just prayed is a beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord, and we want to help you grow in that relationship with the Lord. So text I prayed. If you're online, type I prayed in the comments. We'll send you a response message with a link. Click on that link. Fill in your name and email address so that we can send you free of charge this little e-booklet. But in the meantime, we want to encourage everybody to do three things to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. That's prayer. Thank him for the good things and the blessings in your life. Talk to him about whatever problems, difficulties, or decisions you're making and ask his help. Two, let God talk to you every day. Say, how does God talk to us? The number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. If you don't have a printed version of the Bible, you can download the YouVersion app, that's Y-O-U version app, on your phone or tablet, and you can read there for free. There's never a charge. Start reading in the book of 1 John. Pray a little bit before you read. Read just a few verses. Whatever you do understand, ask God to help you apply it to your life. That's how you start hearing God speak to you. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, of course, we invite you to be a part of our church family. We have a wonderful church family that will pray with you, encourage you, and walk alongside of you. If you're outside of the South Florida area, find an Assembly of God church near to you and put down roots. Don't just attend services, but build relationships. That's how we grow. If you do those three things, you'll be well on your way to a growing and vibrant relationship with the Lord. Once again, welcome to the family of God, and congratulations. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, God is calling us this morning to embrace his vision for this house, to stand in faith and say, God, I am praying and believing that your vision for this house to impact this community will be fulfilled. And I'm committing to do my part to rise up and serve in ministry, to witness and to give, so that your vision can become a reality. If that's your heart, would you stand to your feet and would you just make your way to this altar for a few moments as we close in prayer? God, I embrace your vision for this house, and I'm going to pray and stand in faith to see it become a reality, and I'm going to get involved in ministry, to work, to witness, and to give, so that your vision can be fulfilled. Lift your voice up to the Lord and you talk to him. You make that commitment from your own heart as I pray over us this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for this house. Thank you for this body of believers who love you, who have a heart after Christ. They have a heart for your mission. They have a heart for your house, Lord God. And Father, as we stand before you this morning, we are standing in unity, Lord God, as we commit ourselves to pray and to believe for your vision to be fulfilled. We are standing in unity as we commit ourselves to take our place, to find that place in ministry, Lord God, where we can do the work of your kingdom so that we can strengthen this body and we can help expand its ministry, Lord God. And we make a commitment to you today to tithe if we're not already tithing. And for those of us who are already tithing, we're making a commitment to give so that your house can be fulfilled. Father, we are praying this right now in the name of Jesus, and we're asking the help of your Holy Spirit, because even though the Spirit is willing, oftentimes the flesh is weak. So help us by your Spirit so that we can live out this commitment and see your dream for this house realized. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.